much about.
You gotta put it in perspective.
I need to open with a very critical breaking news announcement.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
I read Shailene Woodley likes to go to a private area, open her vagina, let the sun in, and that's how she gets her glow.
Eating Tide Pods doesn't make you cool.
Mr. Kinney, it's a fine line between being clever and offensive, isn't it?
Look, if I could just say something in defense of National Lampoon for one moment.
Please.
We come from a tradition of truth tellers. A long time ago, there was someone else society found offensive. They thought that what he did was radical, dangerous. Persecuted him, and eventually killed him. Of course, I'm referring to Dracula.
And now...
I can never get into any of this crap. I think the reason is because it's garbage.
Our feature presentation.
Morning, everybody. Brand new Kevin and Bean Show. This is Monday, the 22nd of January.
Congratulations, Allie, for your team going to the Super Bowl again.
You could have just re-racked that from last year.
Right?
Mean.
And a couple of years before that. Did you guys see all the uncomfortable hugging that they were trying to do, the coaching staff?
Listen, Belichick, there's video of Belichick hugging Matt Patricia, and they're so happy. And then it's like they remember who they are.
Right.
And their faces instantly go to, I'm not sure how to hug. It is the funniest video I've ever seen.
It's pretty strong.
Yeah. I don't want people to see me having emotion.
It's just amazing.
It didn't look like they've ever experienced a hug before. Mm-hmm. They didn't know what to do, how to hold themselves.
No, their faces just strangely squished against each other with
bizarre.
Their microphones on. It's
yep.
amazing.
Did you hear Tom Brady dropped an F-bomb on his radio interview, his Westwood One radio interview after the game?
And he dropped F-bombs running out the first time during warm-ups. He told a cameraman to get the F away from him.
All right.
And then a little while later, on the sidelines, told another cameraman to get off the effing field.
Wow.
I don't know what's happening with
wow.
Tom. But
he had football on his mind, I guess.
Sure.
There was not... 1 minute. Tell me if you guys were like this. Allie, you were probably panicking because you always do, even though they always win. But Kevin, did you think for 1 minute that they weren't going to win that game, even though they were behind the entire time? Did it seem even possible to you when you looked
yeah,
at
it was possible.
On the clock that they weren't going to come back?
It was that? Possible because they were behind most of the game.
They were behind the entire game
but not
two
enough.
And a half minutes.
Not enough, though. When you look at the Patriots, it's just never quite enough.
Yeah,
they were down by 10 in the third quarter, right? Or fourth quarter, maybe.
I mean, who knew that Blake Bortles was elite? Who knew?
Not with that mustache, he's not.
He was amazing.
Well, anyway, we'll talk more football later on today. I know a lot of people don't care, but congratulations to Eagles fans and to Patriots fans. We'll look forward to a great Super Bowl. I mean,
the two most likable fan bases right there.
That's true.
They sure are.
Representing.
Hey, we have a tremendous show today, including one of our all-time favorite guests. But before we get to that, you know how sometimes when something very important is going on in the government and Congress calls an emergency meeting, they go back in session when they're supposed to be on vacation or on a weekend or something like that because they've got something so pressing, the nation's business has to be attended to, and they go back to work. You've seen that happen before, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Well, that's how I felt when I read this story on Friday. I thought, how can I get everyone on the phone and get down to K-Rock and just kick Stryker off the air and go back on the air so that we can do this story immediately so I don't have to wait until Monday morning to do it.
We could do it with Stryker. He'd let us.
I bet he would.
Yeah, he'd be cool.
I didn't think I could talk you guys into it, though.
Oh, no, you couldn't.
No.
Hey, Kevin, I'm going to need you to drive back to work from the Valley on a Friday afternoon so that we can talk about this story.
Chip?
Nope. Mm.
This is Dr. Kenny Bond is telling a story about working in the emergency room at the Community Regional Medical Center in Fresno, California. Hey, Fresno, what's up? What's this up? A young man walks in. Did you guys see the story, by the way?
I didn't.
Mm-mm.
A young man walks in complaining of bloody diarrhea.
Oh, dear.
But unlike other patients who come in with similar elements of abdominal pain and cramping, this guy also asked to be treated for worms. The doctor was confused by that, but then the young man, unnamed, handed him a plastic grocery bag.
Oh.
I take out a toilet paper roll, and wrapped around it is a giant tapeworm.
Yeah!
Lucky.
Apparently,
I mean, I know,
that's lucky.
Sorry.
You've been begging for a tapeworm, right, Ellie?
I have.
Apparently, the man was sitting on the toilet.
Oh, no.
When the worm
Why do we have to start the week like this?
When the worm began wriggling its way out of him.
Oh.
He thought he was dying. Going through the man's mind was, oh, my goodness, my guts are coming out of me, recalled the doctor. Here's my favorite paragraph in this story and in any story.
I feel like that means I'm going to hate it.
As the man began pulling on the worm... And it continued sliding out inch by inch. The creature began moving.
Yay!
Why are the kids so happy with the worm?
And rather than faint, he felt relieved. He had thought his entrails were gooping out, but it was a tapeworm, he realized. By the way,
I thought tapeworms were tiny.
This one was not.
Been eaten for a while.
Wow.
Oof. I want you to imagine... Think about, again, what you've just heard. Something is wiggling out his butt while he's on the toilet. Mm-hmm. He reaches around and starts pulling it out of him.
Nope. No, sir.
When rolled out on the floor of the lobby of the emergency room, the parasitic worm was 5 feet.
Nope.
6 inches tall.
No, sir.
Who's hungry?
It was a 5 feet, 6 inch tall tapeworm.
Good morning. Fabulous. Outstanding. Wonderful. Terrific. Good morning. Yeah. Good morning.
The doctor and the patient were initially confounded over how the tapeworm ended up in the man's body. He had he reported no trips abroad, couldn't recall drinking any questionable water, but then the man confessed his deep love of salmon sashimi. Is that how you pronounce it? Sashimi?
Sashimi, Allie? Sure.
I think so, yeah.
I eat raw salmon almost every day, he admitted to the doctor. And there it was, by the way. He got infected with a Japanese tapeworm parasite that is most prevalent when consuming raw or undercooked fish, particularly in dishes such as sushi, sashimi, and ceviche. So he
mistakenly said 5 feet.
Yes,
when
five.
You meant 5 inches.
No, I did not.
You didn't mean 5 inches.
And by the way, there are pictures of this tapeworm.
Nope.
And
nope.
It is, nope. I mean, it's 5.5 feet tall. Apparently, it is not good to have a tapeworm, by the way, Allie. I know you're excited for weight loss, but in most cases, a tapeworm can cause an infection that causes a vitamin B12 deficiency, intestinal obstruction, and gallbladder disease. But they are easy to attend to. All you need is a single dose of deworming medication, which is the exact same pill that is given to dogs, and you are fine. That kills your tapeworms. And the patient says he plans to lay off the sashimi for now.
I had ahi tuna twice this weekend.
Oh, see?
Oh, you probably got one.
I probably have a worm.
Now, do you wait? If you do, wait a week or two and get some benefits?
Just keep looking back when I'm pooping. What? Disgusting. Here's my question, Bean. You couldn't wait to tell that story.
You would have told me, hey, this is the story I want to talk about. I would have said, not in a million years.
What is wrong with you?
That's an unbelievable story. The man pulled a 5.5-foot-long tapeworm out of his body.
Not only would I not come in on Friday, I'm going home now.
Wasn't that awesome?
No.
Please agree with me that was awesome.
It was
awesome. Wasn't it awesome?
It was totally awesome.
It was the most awesome thing ever. Hug me.
Mm-mm. That guy's right.
Nope.
That guy's not right. All right, let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show. Maybe people are just waking up and they haven't heard it yet.
Yeah,
what
let's hope.
Is this? Hello?
We have Travis Barker in studio. Very excited about that. Announcing News Inc.
Love that dude.
For this year, do as well. We have great news on the program today.
We have what?
You heard me. Great news. We have Harvey Levin from TMZ on the show. We have Andrew Siciliano from the NFL Network to talk about the Super Bowl, which is 2 weeks away. It's always the worst week going into the Pro Bowl. Sucky.
Is it?
Yeah, it sucks.
You hate it?
Well.
Because your team isn't there yet.
My team hasn't been there for, you know, 5 weeks or whatever it is. And Doto, the international man of mystery, on the program today. Very excited about that as well. We'll take a break. We'll come back with the what's happening next. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show at 5:54.
By the way, how about a pair of tickets to see Incubus in Las Vegas? We've got that on this morning's Kevin and Bean Show.
All right.
I think they're doing a residency, if I recall correctly.
I think
they're
right.
One of those bands is going out there doing a million shows. So we're going to send you to the Hard Rock Hotel and Casino, give you round-trip transportation on the K-Rock Incubus coming up on this morning's Kevin and Bean Show.
Because it's like the name.
First, what's happening, Allie, on this Monday morning?
Well, you're talking Incubus. Maybe I want to give something away.
Okay.
You're up early. You deserve a little something. How about a night of laughter starring this man? Hit it, Steve.
Like, my mom and dad been living in this country now 35 years, and they still can't speak English. I'm like, deport these motherfuckers. You can't say Cheesecake Factory? Get the fuck out of here.
I love him.
That man, Felipe Esparza, is going to be at the Novo on March 23rd. But if you give a call right now to 1-800-520-1067, two winners are going to get a pair of tickets to see him at the Novo. March 23rd. Tickets on sale now at AXS.com. Let's take callers 10 and 11 right now. Felipe Esparza. Who doesn't want to go to that?
Right?
Right. Any of you see any movies this weekend?
12 Strong.
You did.
Yep.
Very nice. Well, you added to its debut. But coming in number one at the box office, Jumanji, Welcome to the Jungle, another $20 million.
That's a monster.
That's crazy.
It is a monster hit.
Kevin, have you seen that yet?
I have not.
Great cast.
Yeah, I like everyone in it. It looks like I would enjoy it. But then if I don't see it opening weekend, then it's hard to pick an older movie if a new movie's coming out.
Yeah.
Well, I saw Lady Bird.
You did?
I did.
What'd you think?
I liked it very much.
Excellent.
I know that's a lot of people are loving that cast and Greta Gerwig getting a lot of attention for her directing. I enjoyed it very much. I don't think it's for you, Kevin, but I liked it.
All right.
I didn't really think it was for you, Bean. But I'm really glad you liked
it. I love that Saoirse. You know, she's awesome.
I mean, who doesn't?
Right.
But a mom-daughter relationship up in Sacramento doesn't really scream Bean, but I dig it. All right, so Jumanji number one, 12 Strong, that Kevin saw, debuted at 16.5, followed by the debut of Den of Thieves, and then The Post, The Greatest Showman, Paddington 2, The Commuter, Star Wars The Last Jedi, Insidious, The Last Key, and rounding out the top 10 at its debut, Forever My Girl. Well, country music. Guy's big country star. Then he comes back to town, finds out his girlfriend he left at the altar has a kid the same age as when he left. What? Could it be his? Turns out.
Was that advertised anywhere?
I know because it's my friend Josh's wife directed it.
Okay.
Good stuff. Hey, somewhere we can send mugs. Well, a couple places.
Yeah.
Guess who's getting a star on the Walk of Fame this morning at 11:30?
I can't imagine.
It's a pretty big category.
It is a pretty big category. Well, it's one of the people that will be speaking at this star ceremony.
Okay.
Minnie Mouse is getting her star, but Katy Perry is going to be speaking at the dedication.
Oh,
and you say to yourself, well, why would he be there for Katy Perry? He gets the interviews, guys.
Does he?
Yeah.
Does he get the interviews?
He really does.
Okay.
Hey, Katy Perry! Walk the Moon! Hey, Katy Perry, Walk the Moon is standing right here. Katy, Walk the Moon. Katy Perry, Walk the Moon is standing right here.
We played with John Mayer last night.
Hey, you guys.
I mean.
That's the saddest hey you guys ever.
We could get that. By the way, her 90th anniversary. Plus, she has 50 films to her credit. She looks
Katy
great.
Katy Perry is 90?
No.
That's crazy.
Minnie Mouse.
Oh.
Yeah.
Look, we love Disney and everything they do is great. Uh-huh. That's what we've been told.
Right.
But does Minnie Mouse need a star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame?
My question is, Minnie Mouse doesn't already
have
a star?
Here's the thing. Donald Duck, Tinkerbell, Winnie the Pooh, Snow White, Kermit the Frog, and of course Mickey, who got his star in 1978.
Hmm.
I mean, why? Way to F Minnie, right? That's what I'm saying.
I don't think that's what anyone's saying.
That's not what I'm saying.
Nope.
All right, if we don't send Muggs there, can we send him to Abby Lee Miller? Dance Moms.
Yes.
She's set to be released from federal prison February 20th.
Oh, really? Already? How about that?
She shaved about 5 months off of her one-year, one-month sentence for numerous fraud charges. Remember how close they were?
Abby Lee Miller from Lifetime's Dance Moms. Here at the Teen Choice Awards, what is it like being a dance mom, being coined as a dance mom? Is that a good thing?
I'm not a dance mom. Do you watch the show?
What are you?
I'm the dance teacher. I own the studio. Yeah.
You have kids?
No.
I'm so sorry.
How does she turn it around and make him feel bad?
I don't know.
He doesn't watch Dance Moms.
What a gift. By the way, she underwent bariatric surgery before reporting to jail and has dropped over 100 pounds and wants to go back under the knife for a tummy tuck, a breast lift, and get that excess skin removed.
Huh.
I mean, I guess that's a good time to get, like, one of those lap bands, right?
Sure.
You're going to be in there. You're not going to be making your own food,
not
right?
Not going to have great food.
See? I'm saying that might be a good idea for people that really want to lose weight.
Go to just
commit a crime.
No, I don't think that's what anyone's saying.
All right.
No.
Listen, I read that wrong. Some birthdays for you today on January 22nd. Rapper Logic, actress Diane Lane, DJ Jazzy Jeff, and American Ninja Warrior announcer Matt Iceman. That's what's happening.
Very excited to talk to our friend Gabriel Iglesias, Fluffy himself, in about 15 minutes or so here on K-Rock. Man, he has been through a journey, hasn't he?
Yes, he has.
Alcoholism and depression. And now he is back and better than ever playing the Staples Center this weekend. So we'll talk to Fluffy coming up in minutes here on K-Rock. First, though, Monday mornings on the Kevin and Bean Show mean we head out to the TMZ newsroom and say hi to our good friend Harvey Levin. Hey, Harvey.
Good morning, guys. How are you?
Doing fine. Thanks so much for jumping on. I didn't watch any of these SAG Awards last night. I have to tell you, I think there are too many award shows, and I think too many of the same people win the awards over and over and over again, and I feel like all these people that I'm reading about this morning already won Golden Globes, so what was the point of tuning in?
Except what was interesting is that, remember, Aziz Ansari and James Franco both won at the Golden Globes but didn't at the SAG Awards. And as a matter of fact, Aziz didn't even show up, which
now,
is interesting.
Is that because of all the allegations against him, do you think?
Well, you know, this is an interesting one. Yeah, I mean, that's everything I've heard. And I was on the phone last night with some people. Yes, and he was supposed to go. This is the one, I don't know if you guys remember, but this is the one where he showed up at the Golden Globes. He was wearing a Time's Up button, and a woman then posted on social media this long account of a date that they had last year where she says he got really sexually aggressive with her and that she was giving him nonverbal signs to stop, but he didn't. Mm-hmm. And he texted back, "I didn't realize you were upset." Well, a lot of people came to his defense in this one. And, you know, Ashley Banfield from HLN called it a bad date. And, you know, we just got Joel McHale out at Sundance. He said the same thing. A lot of people felt that this woman was latching onto the movement, you know, where there are a lot of really valid claims and kind of sullying it because they said it was a bad date.
Yes.
And that's why I thought he was going to show, and he didn't, and it really surprised me.
Now, I want to take Matt Damon's lead here and say, as a man, I feel like I should sit back and hear from a woman on this topic. Sexual assault or bad date? Alan McKay, I know you and I have talked off the air about this, but what are your thoughts about this Aziz case?
Unbelievable. here's the thing. If she felt like something had crossed the line, then that's what she felt. I can't speak to it. Does it definitely seem like it was a bad date to a lot of people? Sure. Could it be muddying the waters of the Me Too movement? A lot of people think that. But it also opens up a whole discussion about what is considered consent and what is considered verbal cues, nonverbal cues. And maybe it's gotten so ingrained in men that if a woman's not into it, just keep pushing. Because maybe she'll come back around. Who knows? I think, if anything, you can't take a sexual assault, totally not a sexual assault. It's opening up the dialogue.
Take out both extremes.
Absolutely. As to what exactly women go through and sometimes just completely shut down on a date. Like,
except, you know what? I have to ask you something. And I get everything you're saying and agree with it. You know, and again, most of these seem valid. But to open up a discussion at the expense of some guy who, from all of everything we can see, because remember, he tweeted her the next day and said, or texted her and said, "Hey, you know, really enjoyed the date." And she said, "I'm glad you did, but I didn't." So you've got a guy who didn't take whatever the cues are and actually believed that it was a good date, and all of a sudden, his name is mud in town because she decides to go on social media and blast him. That's a little different.
I don't think his name is mud, though. I don't think
he would have showed up for the awards if he didn't feel that.
Well,
and
that's
there was
on
no
him,
applause
but
when his name was read out, I understand, also, right, Harvey?
Faint.
Hmm.
Is it? Yeah. You think he just did that because he didn't want to answer all of the inevitable questions?
Yeah, I mean, I think it must have been really uncomfortable for him. But I know that he said, look, I had no idea. And the thing about him that's different from everybody else is it was contemporaneous. When he, the next day, texted, hey, I really enjoyed the date, you know, this was somebody, you know, if he really did take the cue, it's unlikely he would have texted her this. And then she said, you clearly didn't pick up my, you know, my cue. And...
Yeah,
you know, I get
very different impressions.
There is such a thing as nonverbal, you know, consent. But she kept going, you know, in this tryst. And maybe he was aggressive, but is this really one where you call him out publicly on social media? A lot of people, including Ashley Banfield, are saying no.
Well, yeah. First of all, it was a babe.net, something no one's ever heard of, and the fact that this reporter wrote about it. I mean, that's concerning to me that you can make an allegation like that. It's going to then go viral and go crazy. That is very concerning. Absolutely.
Okay,
did you see what happened between her and Ashley Banfield?
Oh, yeah.
Well, the writer is. I can't say that. Okay,
I'm not sure we can use it either. I'm pretty sure we can.
But
I don't think you can either. That's just my opinion.
Let's be honest. There's a lot going on in the story, and there are so many layers to the story that we can't even get into in this time frame. But
because we're going to run out of time, I want to ask. So James Franco in a similar situation, except. It looks like straight up sexual assault for multiple women being accused of James Franco. He was or was not there at the SAG Awards last night, Harvey?
No, he was there. He was there.
And how was he received by the crowd, the largely female crowd?
You know what, guys, I don't know if you heard it. I did not hear any boos. And I was listening. Now, there may have been some. I just didn't hear any, but it was faint again.
Okay.
I mean clearly people are reacting to him.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think they are different situations, the Aziz and the James Franco, but I think there's a million stories out there, and they're all worth listening to. And as Ali said, the dialogue is important. So, all right, you can find out about this and so much more at TMZ.com, the entertainment source of record. You can also watch TMZ throughout the day on Fox Channel 11. TMZ live airs at 4, same channel, 11, and TMZ Sports airs Monday through Friday at midnight on the Fox Sports 1. Harvey, great to have you on, sir. Talk to you next week. Thanks.
Good talking to you guys. See ya.
Thank you. One of our all-time faves, Travis Barker, in studio with us next half hour here on the Kevin Bean Show, bringing with him the Musinc announcement. Now, Kevin, you have already seen it.
Yes.
Come on. One band.
It's pretty great.
One band. Come on. Real Big Fish, are they on it?
Blink 182.
What?
Right?
What?
Right?
You lying or are you telling the truth?
I'm telling the truth.
Okay. All right. Do we have the fluff?
Why would that not be true?
I feel like that's probably a huge announcement. Yeah.
That's what I thought. That's why I thought you were kidding, because that sounds too good to be
true. He just put his hand over his face like, oh, God.
Did I?
I mean, but it's...
I don't know. I haven't seen the lineup. I don't know whether they're on there or not.
That's why we thought you were kidding.
I was just making that up. I was guessing.
Oh, Kev.
I have no idea.
Travis Barker is going to be making the announcement.
Right. I don't know any of them. I was assuming.
Wow.
Right? Because he's in a band. I was just assuming.
Why do I go to Kevin?
Let's not game over Iglesias, can we?
Yes. I think we should change topics.
Please.
Dear God.
Shut up, Chip.
Hey, Fluffy was on our show back in November when this concert was announced, but it is now the week of Gabriel Iglesias at the Staples Center this Friday night at 8. Just a few tickets left. You got to see Fluffy in person. He is the best, and we're delighted to welcome him back to the Kevin Bean Show on K-Rock. Hey, Fluff, how you doing, man?
Good morning.
Good morning.
You are up awfully early. What's up with you?
Or I'm up really late. One of the two.
Well, welcome back. You had, let's be frank here, you had mostly a terrible 2017, it sounds like. Am I wrong about that?
Mostly, yeah. That's pretty accurate.
You have been very brave speaking about the struggles that you went through, and I wanted to thank you for that because, you know, everybody thinks, oh, other people have it figured out. Other people are doing it right. I'm the only one who's sad. I'm the only one who lets it get away from me. And you proved that even though you can be popular and funny and successful and rich, these issues that are out there hit everybody. Right, Fluff?
Yeah, you know, no one is safe. And as a comic, you know, you want to always try to smile and make sure that the people around you are taken care of, but sometimes you forget to take care of yourself. And, you know, that eventually caught up to me.
And you've told us in the past that, you know, the 20 years you've been out there on the road, that you literally had never taken a vacation. You are a guy who did not know to relax. How were you able to put that behavior behind you and now start giving yourself some free time?
Yeah, it basically, it was one of those where I had to, because it got to that point where, you know, I had a show that I was doing in Dallas, and literally coming off the stage, I buckled and I just started crying, and it was very emotional for me, because it was like, wow, I just felt so burnt out. There were so many things, and, you know, I was evaluating the way that I was taking care of myself, taking care of my family, taking care of my friends. There was so much that just hit me at once, and I basically had to walk away. I just couldn't deal. How was I supposed to go out and make people feel good and make people happy if I couldn't do that for myself? And that was the problem.
I'm sort of surprised that it took that long to happen, working as hard as you have.
Yeah, I almost hit 20 years. I was a little shy of 20 years.
I mean, I think you did fine.
We're going to give you the full 20. You're going to get credit for all the time served, Fluffy.
So what are you doing differently on a day-to-day basis now to make sure you, besides working a little bit less, what are you doing for your mental health?
You know what? I think surrounding myself with some pretty positive people, being present. You know, one of the things that I found really hard to do was, I'm one of those that I always have my cell phone in my hand. Mm-hmm. I finally learned one day to, hey, you know what? Maybe it's okay to put it on airplane mode for a few hours and just not deal.
The first time you did that, though, did it drive you out of your mind? You kept reaching for it?
Yeah, it was like crack. I was like, it's not buzzing. And then everybody freaked out, because they all hit me up and they're like, dude, the screen is green. You know, when you send an iMessage and it's green. Is everything okay? Is everything, you know, so everybody kind of was concerned. And I'm like, yeah, I just needed to shut down for a little while.
Well, I'm so happy that you did. Look, there have been so many stories of people getting into a dark place that don't end well. And it's so much better that you took the time you needed and you come back and you feel good. And I bet you're like stoked to be at Staples Center Friday night now, right?
You know what? This is a complete turnaround from where I was. And you know what's crazy is that whenever I would go out on the road with my team and stuff, I always like to do like activities. And one thing that I always liked doing was a thing called Shoe Day, where I take my staff out and we go to the mall and I get everybody a pair of shoes. And I'd gotten a pair of shoes a little over a year ago as a gift from a friend. And I had been rocking that same pair of shoes, even though other people would give me shoes. But there was this one pair of shoes, and I'm still wearing them right now, that I wore throughout the entire time that I was dealing with the whole thing of stopping with the drinking, with everything that was going on. I've been rocking those shoes that whole time. And these shoes are beat up. They're torn. They're tattered. The sole is just, it's messed up really, really bad.
You think people saw you on the street and went, Gabriel's losing it. Look at his shoes.
Yeah, look at his shoes. But these shoes, man, they held me up all the year. And even though they're torn up, I'm going to be rocking those shoes at Staples Center, because I feel like those shoes have earned the right.
That's right.
They were with me that whole rough time, and now they're going to shine. And I'm going to put them in a box and frame them.
I love it. Fluffy wearing his lucky shoes Friday night at Staples Center. Ticketmaster.com. Just a few seats left to see one of the greatest comedians in the world in person this Friday night. Welcome back. Happy New Year, Fluffy. You know we love you, and we have for a long time, and we're delighted to have had you back on the show this morning. We really appreciate it, sir.
Thank you so much. And Ali, I still have that gift you gave me, and I really appreciated it.
Good. Love you, Fluffy.
Thank you.
Thanks. Good to talk to you. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. It is 7 minutes till 7 o'clock.
Kevin and Bean's great news.
You gotta give me some heads up here, dude.
All right, I need it here. I'm gonna need the echo here, all right?
Stop that. Okay.
Coming up just after, nope, not yet. Wait until I pause and then the greatest.
All right.
Coming up just, nope, take
all
it
right.
off.
Okay.
Coming up. Plus Travis Barker on the way on K-Rock. First, Ali, what's happening?
Oh, Bean. Will never get old to me. I'm so sorry. Hey, are the Smiths getting back together? Reuniting for a tour?
I would enjoy that, so I want to say yes.
All right. Well, how about this? Drummer Mike Joyce posted on Facebook on Friday, quote, Rourke, Joyce, Gannon, summer 2018.
What, is that all the names?
I feel like two pretty big ones are left out. That Johnny Marr guy and that Morrissey dude.
Neither of them.
Neither of them seem to be part of whatever this project is, but maybe Morrissey will show up.
Morrissey doesn't show up in anything.
He's known
for showing
Let's
up in
honest.
Extra places.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I'm not needed there. Concerts. I'll go.
You can't get that guy away from you.
He really does just show up everywhere you need him. Who knows what that's going to be all about and who's going to be singing.
Are they calling it a Smiths reunion or they're just talking maybe a different a side band or something?
Maybe like the Ifs. I don't know. Maybe a side band because they're going to need a guitarist, right? Johnny Marr, they're going to need a singer.
Right.
Sure.
So let's wait.
Okay.
Shall we? There
are some bands that you don't want to get back together, and there are some bands that you do.
Mm-hmm.
This is one that I do.
Well, yeah, you need all of them.
You do, absolutely.
And no offense to the other guys, but I think Johnny Marr and Morrissey are the two most important parts.
Sort of, yes.
But God bless you. Good job. Good effort. I like it. I saw this on Instagram last night, and I just thought, well, this is delightful. So Edgar Wright gets out of his car, notices, you know, those baby on board, kid in car things that are suctioned up against the window. He sees one on the car next to him, so he videotapes it because it says baby on board. But it's a picture of the guy from Baby Driver, Ansel Elgort. And he's like, how cool is this? Right
That's
next
awesome.
To me. I just pulled up next to it. So then he wrote a little note and left it on the windshield. He wrote, from the director of Baby Driver, I approve. E. Wright. Which, how cool is that?
That's
to get back
cool.
to your car and be like, oh my God, Edgar Wright just was parked next to me and thought that my baby on board was pretty damn cool. Oh,
that's a great story.
I just like things that. Sometimes, you guys. It's true. Ed Sheeran, he's engaged to his longtime girlfriend, Cherry Seaborn. He's off the market, ladies.
He's,
Yep.
Lucky he's a musician, correct?
He is a delightful young buck.
Right, that's what I meant.
You're saying he does look a little bit like a gnome.
A bit.
I understand that. Mm-hmm. I think he's a delight. I think he's adorable. But he broke the news on social media saying, got myself a fiancé just before the new year. Very happy and in love, and our cats are chuffed as well. Hmm. I mean.
I hear what you're saying about Ed Sheeran, Kevin, but I will tell you that the ladies would love him even if he weren't a musician because he is charming and he has that accent.
He is very funny.
Yeah. Yes, but would you know it if he wasn't a musician?
Like, if he started talking to you, would you be like, hey, that gnome has an accent? What's this all about?
I mean, think, Allie, you would spend time with Ed Sheeran if you ran into him at the pub, wouldn't you? I mean,
absolutely.
Even if he weren't famous, he weren't the Ed Sheeran we know?
100%.
Yeah, I think so.
You know
too.
I love me a ginger, first off.
Right.
You
right.
add an accent to that?
Mm-hmm.
Good Lord. Some tattoos? Ed's in. If you know what I'm saying.
Ed can get it.
You know what I'm saying. Yeah. By the way, Cherry Seaborn, they were friends during high school and then reunited. She's an accountant and an accomplished hockey player. She won the 2012 European Championships while playing for Team England.
Wow.
Okay.
Who knew?
Well, everyone now, because I'm breaking Ed Sheeran news. It's good stuff.
Speaking of people getting married, did you guys see the Instagram from Steve-O? Is this news to anyone else but me?
I do not. No. I've not seen it.
Last
I don't
night.
Know the story you're referring to.
He pretty much announced that he was getting married as well.
Oh,
wow.
Poor lady.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah,
Steve-O's
dude.
He's a good dude.
He's a different man now.
He's a great dude. But that poor lady.
I mean, she is going to have to put up with a lot, but she probably knows that.
Yeah.
Unless,
sure.
unless I read his Instagram. I think that's true.
Let's not go to Kevin for
I'm
any breaking
sure
news,
sure
okay?
that's true.
Out Please. Of curiosity, I did see something about someone named Wendy. Is that who it was?
I don't remember her name. I just
he adopted a dog named Wendy. Are you sure it was a woman?
The Instagram was
Can
two,
someone look this up immediately, if not
hands,
sooner?
Two different hands. Okay. One of them had a wedding ring.
Oh, okay. And it wasn't rings. A paw. It wasn't
it was,
like a dog
I
paw.
I understand the difference between a paw and
okay.
a hand.
Was
yes.
it furry?
It was not.
Okay.
Last night, in front of a bunch of my jackass buddies, my closest friends, my dad and my sister, she said yes. I planned that for more than 6 months, and I'm so happy. I can't wait for you all to see it.
There you go.
So that is that's Steve-O becoming engaged. Oh, it is a dog's paw, though. That is weird.
It's not a dog's paw. Not even close.
That's creepy now.
I will accept your apologies now, please.
Don't marry your dog, Steve-O.
Not his dog.
No?
No.
It's a human lady?
A human being, yes.
Okay. All right, some birthdays for you. Rapper Logic, actress Diane Lane, DJ Jazzy Jeff, and American Ninja Warrior announcer Matt Iceman. That's what's happening.
Don't get tired of that song. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. It's Kevin and Bean Show at 5 minutes after 7 o'clock.
So we got a Boston and Philadelphia Super Bowl, you guys. Way to represent the whole country. Way to give all of us a rooting interest. We'll talk about that matchup with our friend Andrew Siciliano from the NFL Network coming up. Also, Doto, the International Man of Mystery. Not yet. Doto, the International Man of Mystery on the program today. And right now, okay, now it's time. And right now, great news.
Yeah, you clipped him at the end there, clipped Kevin. Him? Yeah.
And right now it's time for, nope, again, wait, okay, right. Great news. There it was.
If you right. would have finished.
I didn't expect it to work.
Well, maybe you should.
Hit it, Steve.
When you wake up, all you hear is bad news. So bad it makes you want to hit the snooze. Kevin and Bean can make that go away. It's time for great news today.
Great news.
All right, Kevin, warm and fuzzy. What do you got?
I got, maybe you've seen the story of Maurice Anderson on the Red Line train in Chicago last week. He was headed home from downtown and was seated next to an older homeless man. Mm-hmm. And he said, I looked down and his shoes were off. One of his socks was bleeding through. Jessica Biel is another woman on the train, and she was watching this. She was sitting near them, and she saw Maurice ask the man about his feet, only wearing a pair of snowy boots. And he took them right off of his feet and gave them to the homeless guy.
Oh, wow.
He said, what size are you? And the homeless guy said, 12. And he said, me too. Here's wow. my new pair of boots.
Wow.
And this is what I think is really cool, is that Jessica Biel snapped some pictures of it mm-hmm. and posted it on Facebook. And I think that was maybe, not to be too preachy, but maybe that was even the more important act, was to show this great act of kindness and let other people know that it happened. Because the way society is right now, it just seems like everything is such a bummer. Mm-hmm. And to get the good word out there, which is one of the reasons that we do great news. Mm-hmm. It sort of restores your faith in humanity. And this is what she had to say.
This is not what you see on the train every day. It was amazing. I think that's really what resonated for me, is that it was really a just like selfless and quiet act. Like there was no fanfare to it. It just happened.
Biel decided to share the story on Facebook because, as she wrote in her post, during a time when hate and apathy are rampant, quiet compassion appears without warning.
So I thought that was really an amazing story.
Yeah.
I like it. And the guy who offered his shoes up was probably thinking, I am fortunate enough to have other shoes at home. This guy doesn't.
Yep.
So why should he have none and I have more than one? That's Correct. A very cool story.
Yeah.
I like this one, too. This one comes out of Turkey. The capital of Turkey is Ankara, I think is how you pronounce it. Garbage collectors there have made the news because, and I have no idea how this started or how the word spread throughout the garbage collecting community, but they started picking out of the trash books that people had thrown away, saved them up, and built a public library out of books that were being thrown in the trash. Isn't that a bizarre story?
Wow. Huh.
Sanitation workers started collecting discarded books for months. They gathered the books. As word of the collection then spread, residents started donating books directly. Initially, the books were only for employees and their families to borrow, people who worked for the sanitation department. But as the collection grew bigger and bigger and bigger and interest spread throughout the community, they opened it as a public library. They now have over 6,000 books in the library, wow. including a popular kids section with comic books, an entire section of science books. They have books in English and in French. They put it in a previously vacant brick factory that the sanitation department owned, and they loan out books to the community. In fact, they have so many books now because as word spread, as I said, people started donating them, that now the library is loaning out these books that previously were going to be thrown away to schools, educational programs, and even to prisons. So that is a wonderful, wonderful story, I think, about somebody looking at something and going, hey, somebody else might enjoy that, and I think we can figure out a way to help them do that. And that's my great news.
Oh, try it again.
Great news.
I mean.
What do I have to do?
All right. My story has to do with, you know, when your kid goes off to college first time, the house is so empty. It's pretty much a real bummer, right? So then they come back for their Christmas break. Mm-hmm. The house is alive again. Everything's great. Sometimes them leaving after that is worse when they originally left because you've got the holidays. You've got all those new memories that you just made. Well, this woman found that to be very true. Her name is Cheryl Gottlieb Boxer. And she posted this on Facebook. Today, we dropped our son off at the train station to return to college for the spring semester of his freshman year. I returned home and found the house too quiet. I miss his chatter, his guitar music, his video games. Every corner of the house felt barren in his absence.
And so then, she flew there and got an apartment right next door?
No. Oh. Even better. And then I started finding the notes everywhere. He left me little notes in the places he knows I'll find him. Have a nice bath on the corner of the bathtub. You look beautiful in the medicine cabinet. Wonderful little notes in the coffee machine, like have a great cup of coffee, which is so delightful and lovely. And she shares this on her Facebook and said that she's been finding all the notes. It makes her so happy. And she keeps finding more. Each note I find, I'm afraid is the last, but then I find another. When he called me with a travel update, I asked him why he left him, and he told me because he doesn't want me to forget him, as if that's possible. I assume by now he's found the note I left for him inside the dinner I packed for him. Be careful, and I love you, because I don't want him to forget me either. Oh, sweet baby Jesus.
So this is a story about her kid littering her apartment? That's what we're talking about?
No,
it's about... Just leaving trash everywhere?
A kid realizing as he's off to college, you know what? My parents are pretty freaking okay. And sometimes it takes that distance to realize how much your parents mean to you. And I think that's beautiful.
That's very sweet.
Very weird that he called his mother beautiful, by the way.
What? Oh, my God. Isn't that's it? My great news.
Hey, that's that guy. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show. It's 22 minutes after 7.
For 25 years, I thought, I can't think of a bad thing to say about Travis Barker. I love this dude, and I love everything about him, and everything he's into, and everything he participates
right.
in, and everything he believes.
And then?
And then today happened, and now I realize he's a dick. Travis Barker is a dick.
No, he's a good dude. He just has to get places sometimes. And all when right. you have to get places in Southern California, it can be difficult.
So, Travis, first of all, good morning. Welcome back, sir. How are
good
you?
Good morning. How you doing?
So, you're running a little bit late this morning. You're trying to make your start time here on the Kevin and Bean Show. So you make what decision driving in today?
Well, I was watching Google Maps make my arrival time later and later. It was like saying 7:30, 7:32. So I have to be honest, I went in the carpool lane.
That's my man right there.
How dare you?
Barker.
That's my man. Wow.
My
just
man.
Made it happen.
Carpool lane doesn't mean anything if single drivers clog it up.
This is what a Bean's pet peeve.
It meant I got here 10 minutes earlier.
Right. It means you he's here, I mean? Bean. He's making your job work.
Look, I appreciate that you're here and whatnot, but isn't that a very, not that it matters to you, Rich Travis Barker, but isn't that a very expensive ticket if you get caught with a carpool lane violation?
Yeah, but I did that when I was dirt poor, like when I was a trash, even before I had a job being a trash man, like, hey, you know, if you got somewhere to be.
So you're a repeat offender.
The emergency lane isn't off limits either, you know?
Oh, no.
I'm like, just saying.
You do what you have to do.
I remember going to, like, Blink rehearsals, and my best friend at the time, Ultimate Ronnie, who was, like, our roadie, our tech, I was like, hey, we're going to be late to practice. I got to get in the emergency lane. He's like, dude, don't do it. We can't go to jail. And I'd be like, no, we got to do it. And I'd just be, like, kind of, like, fabricating ideas of, like, oh, so-and-so's my, you know, my wife's pregnant. I don't have a wife at the time. You know, whatever it was.
Some emergency that you would have an excuse.
Yeah, there was some type of emergency.
But the difference between you and Kev Dog, though, is that if you get pulled over in the carpool lane, Travis, there's a 98% chance that officer's going to recognize you, be a fan of yours, and say good day, sir, right?
You bastard.
Or they could punish me even more, right?
How has it been for you? Do you get pulled over very often?
Yeah, cops are pretty cool.
Pretty cool, yeah. I would assume everybody's pretty cool.
You know what?
With
it
you.
Depends. It depends what area you're in.
It does. Okay.
I've gotten pulled over like near my studio in North Hollywood, where they're like hands out of the window and asking me what prison I did time in and what neighborhood I was from.
Wow.
And then in Calabasas, everything's all FFG. It's great. You know?
Sure.
They're really nice. They're like, oh, Trav, you know, sorry, just didn't see license plates, whatever. You know?
All right, here's a,
but
here's
I don't really
question.
I don't really commit big crimes either.
Right. No, certainly not.
Carpool's pretty big.
It's big enough for you.
Here's a question I've always wanted to ask you, Travis. I don't know that I have. And then I promise we'll get to Musink, which is why Travis is here. But people who don't recognize you, do they see you and the way you dress and the people you're hanging out with and the tattoos on your body and stuff? And do they sometimes throw shade at you?
Oh, for sure.
Like if you go into a 7-Eleven, does somebody follow you around because they go, oh, that dude's here to rip
us off,
right? Yeah.
Oh, for sure. If they don't know who I am, they're like, whoa, he looks kind of crazy. You know, like, so I even used to get that sometimes. Like, it's either really, really old people or really young people when my kids were really small. And their friends would just look at me like their eyes bugging out of their head like, oh, my gosh, that's your dad.
Evil man kidnapped those cute kids.
And then they would think, I wish that was my dad.
Well, after months of maybe getting to know me and realizing, like, whoa, he's super cool. Or he took us skateboarding or he took us whatever, you know.
All right. So now that we've got your criminal past out of the way.
Yes.
Travis Barker is here, as he is every year about this time, with a big, big announcement. Are we up to the 11th annual Musink already, Travis?
Yes.
That's insane.
That must be unbelievable for you. It must be really crazy for you to look back on those look back on those lineups throughout the years and see how much this festival's grown.
Yeah, it's so crazy that it's 11 years. It doesn't seem like it at all. But,
and you're super involved in picking the musical acts and the tattoo artists that are going to be appearing, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
What does it feel like to be the man? When people have problems, they come to you to solve them, or do they?
It's good and bad. No, it's always a lot of fun to put the event together. It's never really stressful. Most of the time, the bands are someone we know.
Yeah, friends.
Or someone we work with. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, it's always fun. It's almost always like, okay, how can we outdo ourselves this year? Or, you know, and then as the festival gets bigger, making sure the sound's better and everything else, the experience is
better.
Do
you have a walkie-talkie?
No. I don't want to go there.
Yes, that makes it official.
No, yeah. Most of the
trial, come in, trial.
Honestly, most days I'm there, there's like a VIP meet and greet package, mm-hmm. and the majority of the day I'm in that.
Do you have a golf cart?
No.
Come on,
wow, man.
You're doing it wrong, Travis.
Get a golf cart.
I'm not really in. I guess it's not my steez, really, Bean. It's just not my thing. Being in a golf cart, it's weird. I'd rather walk.
All right, let's talk about the lineup. Do you want to read them or do you want us to?
Go ahead. I can read them.
Yeah. Okay, let's hear it. So we're talking about Musink, which is Friday.
You guys
March.
Have the better like announcing voice. Like
no,
Friday.
No, not really. But you're the man. Bet. This is your baby. Okay. So Friday, March 16th through Sunday, March 18th at the OC Fair and Event Center, Travis Barker presents the 11th annual Musink. Wait till you hear this lineup. Friday night, Travis Barker, go.
Okay, Friday night's The Adolescents, Strung Out, Fear, and one of my favorite bands of all time, The Descendants.
Great band. Nice. Cool. They have headlined for you in the past at Musink, too.
Yeah, they've played Musink, I think, twice in the 11 years we've had it.
They're amazing. All right, that's Friday night.
They keep getting better, actually, as time goes on. It's a trip.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
Saturday.
Saturday is a band called The Interrupters, right here from Los Angeles, that are amazing.
Mm-hmm.
A band called Good Charlotte.
Sure.
Mm-hmm.
And this one band, I don't know, it's called something like Blink 182.
When you contact those guys, they're like, yes, Travis, we know. It's me.
We'll
be
do it.
You know, I haven't asked them for a couple years. And it's always like, it feels weird.
Does
sometimes
it?
Because it's
you
my
feel
thing.
Odd, yeah.
So I usually don't even hit Mark or Matt. I just let like the offer come through from, you know, agent to agent, and they're like, oh, dope, you asked us to play Musink.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, because right. It's kind of weird. They'd be like, I don't know.
What all if your right. agent came back to you and was like, nope?
Someone's ass is getting kicked.
That's what I'm saying.
Obviously we'd work it out. It's always like, you know, sometimes there might be something that Mark's like, hey, you know, I really want this done. But I never want it to feel like a favor because Musink is a legitimate, you know, festival.
A legitimate festival that Blake 182 would play anyway, even if you weren't involved.
Yeah, you'd like to, yeah.
Yeah. So, all right. So that's Friday night and Saturday night. How about Sunday, Travis?
Sunday is this really awesome band called The Fever. I don't know if you guys have heard of them.
Mm-hmm. I have not,
Los Angeles. Well, you're about to hear of them a whole bunch. They're really great. Actually, John Feldman and I produced their album.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, I play drums on the album.
That's a great name for a band, by the way. I can't believe that hasn't been used.
Yeah, yeah. I'm really excited about it. Wi-Fi's Funeral, Machine Gun Kelly, and Little Yachty.
Little Yachty?
Nice.
Yes.
What? Okay.
You know, every year, or not every year, but most years, you know, I've done Tech N9ne at Musinc. Mm-hmm. I've had Snoop Dogg at Musinc. I've had Ritz. So I really feel like it's 2018 and not everyone wants to go to a show and see the same type of band, you know? Mm-hmm. It's kind of like even you guys. I was applauding you from afar. I saw Run the Jewels on Acoustic Christmas.
So good.
That's what it's about.
That was great.
You know, not everyone listens to the same, you know, just because you like Blink doesn't mean that's the only thing you listen to. You might be listening to Uzi Vert or whatever, Run the Jewels.
Yep, of course.
I feel like everything's wide open.
And people that know you know that you play all those different styles of music as well.
And tattoos.
Yeah.
Especially that generation of kids. I mean, Yachty's, I don't know if you want to call them like SoundCloud rappers, but those kids are the first ones to get tattoos on their face. So I feel like you're alienating them by not including them in such a cool festival.
Well, it's an amazing lineup. And speaking of tattoos, when we come back, Travis, we want to talk about that aspect because it's two things going on. It's the music and it's the tattoos, and they're both well represented. It's St. Patrick's Day weekend, you guys, the 11th annual Musinc, including Descendants, Blink-182, Yachty, The Adolescents, and Fear and Good Charlotte, and all the rest that Travis has just described. And tickets are going on sale Friday at 10 a.m. Friday at 10 a.m. You usually sell out, Travis?
Well, it's kind of weird. You can't sell out that venue. I mean, you'll get to capacity and then it stops, but we've never...
That's what sellout means, by the way, Travis. Yeah.
Well, no. I mean, it's such a massive...
It is a huge
it's
area.
It's way bigger than the venue area. So you'll have, you know, you'll have the tattoo part of it. That's a whole other piece of the grounds. So it's kind of weird, but yeah,
gotcha.
I think we've had like 12,000 people there a day.
Wow, that's amazing! Friday at 10 a.m.
Be our sellout.
Tickets are going on sale, you guys, for Musinc. More with our friend Travis Barker when we return on K-Rock.
Travis Barker is in studio with us talking about Musinc, which is March 16th through 18th. Tickets go on sale Friday at 10 a.m.
Through Ticketmaster, here's my advice to you. If you ever get a radio show, have Travis Barker on as a guest and then have him tell you unbelievable stories during the commercials.
It's like why the stuff you... I can't talk about on the radio,
I know.
It would be Travis, great if you could, but...
Why don't you have a reality show of your own?
I don't know.
Life, my friend, your life is fascinating.
I guess I'm too busy to even think about it. And even when it happened last time when I did have a reality show, kind of came out of nowhere and they just started filming. It wasn't like I was acting for them or putting on for them. It was just, that was my life.
Well, your life is a cartoon.
It is a cartoon, yeah. Really? I had a listener who tweeted me over the weekend and said, why does Travis always show up on Keeping Up with the Kardashians? Is that because you're friends with Kanye?
No, I mean, I am friends with Kanye, but I'm closer to Courtney. Courtney's awesome. And I mean, I knew Kim for years, like back in the day. I've known the family pretty much for like 10, 12 years. And we just happen to all live in the same neighborhood. So yeah, we've always stayed friends, like ice skating at Christmas time and whatever else.
See
and
what
sometimes
I mean?
Will this be over there? Okay. Sometimes will this be over there and they're filming and it's just whatever.
It just happens.
I'm not doing anything different on there than I normally am. Right. I'm more in shock. I think like the one episode I was on this time, like they were talking about like one of them was throwing shade at the other one about Christmas stuff, and I was just in shock. I couldn't believe it. It was savage. But yeah, they're awesome, man. And you know, they're a really cool family. I've known them for years.
Would we be surprised by Kanye in private? Does he seem a little bit more normal when he's just hanging out with y'all than he does to us on the, you know, just watching him as a celebrity and the crazy stuff that he says and does?
Well, you always have to remember that everyone puts a twist on things, you know, to sell a story.
Mm-hmm.
I've been victim of it. People are, you know, especially people in their kind of fame are always a victim of it. Kanye's a genius.
I agree.
He's a genius.
Absolutely.
No doubt.
Can I ask you this question still, though?
Yes, still.
Because it seems like all the personal weirdness and strangeness has sort of overshadowed his music.
But that last album was great.
It was great.
That album was great.
You know, it was crazy. It was like it felt like a gospel album without gospel lyrics. It was amazing. It was such a good album. Fashion wise, you can't mess with him. He's changed the sneaker game. You know, like it's insane. Or at least created his own pocket within it. He's He is. He's great, man. He's a very smart man. What might seem like something else to the outside eye or ear is, you know.
From the standpoint of seeing him tell us how great he is all the time. That's an odd.
Well, I don't think you can also, I mean, I think to be an artist and to be an artist at his level, you have to be confident and you have to somewhat love yourself.
Right.
Before everyone else
is going to love you. But you've never told us that you're a great drummer.
No, but I feel like I also feel like he's on a different level. And he's on a level of so many things. You know, he has his hand in so many things. And I, you know, I'm just not like that.
Right.
I mean, I do obviously I do have an amount of confidence, or I wouldn't be able to go on stage in front of however many people and play the drums, or think I could, you know, create a clothing line or create a festival. So you have to have a level of confidence. But I also feel like someone like Kanye has so much and he puts it all out there, and then he puts himself out there for people to judge him or whatever. But he is great.
You ever played with him in the studio, Travis, or played on any of his records?
I haven't. You know, I've seen him a couple times late, and he's like, "We gotta get in the studio." But I don't.
Everyone says
but
that
I
to
don't,
you.
But I don't like. Okay, let me get your number. You know, but if it, you know, I, like I said, I see the family so much. If they ever, you know, he ever wanted me or called on me, he'd know where to find me.
I feel like that is a weird ability that you have to sort of morph into anyone's music that wants to use you. You're in, and you're good enough to be that.
Well, I love writing. That's my thing. You know, I love getting in the studio and someone will be like, "Oh, we're stuck on this," or, you know, "We're trying to come up with a more creative drum part for this," or "This band is releasing a new album." Like Feldman will call me in for different projects all the time, and it's so fun. But when I go in immediately, when I hear what I hear, I'm like, "Oh, okay, I have tons of ideas."
Oh, is that right?
Yeah. I just like kind of like I guess like just the same as a rapper would freestyle on a record. I just go in and I play like as many different beats or approach the beat, you know, a million different ways.
So you'll do it
people
once,
options.
And then you'll think, all right, I'm going to do it a different way and do it.
Yeah, I'll just say, just play, just press record and let me play. And then you guys pick what you like and then it's done.
I saw the voice of Travis Barker here on the Kevin Bean Show, getting back to the 11th Annual Music Festival, just announced in a minute. But I have to ask, because I saw something online over the weekend. Did you do some work recently or talk about doing some work recently with your friend Tom DeLonge?
He is actually – he just did a really important interview for my doc that will basically the counterpart to my book.
Is that right?
Yeah. So four people were interviewed to create this trailer, and it was Mark Hoppus, my dad, and Tom DeLonge.
Is this a project we already know about, Travis, or is this something
you don't,
new?
I'm kind
on?
Of just telling you
yeah,
right now.
Okay.
I'm coming with surprises.
Sure.
Another book? I should know about the doc. Why don't I know about the doc?
No, I haven't really said anything. It's been in the works. It was the same people who did Steve Aoki's documentary.
Oh, okay.
Oh, that was great.
And yeah, we started talking to them a while back, you know, kind of, you know, being inspired by the book, but then actually digging deeper. So it has begun.
And when will we be able to see this, Doc?
That I don't know.
Okay. Is it maybe
really
this
soon.
Year, maybe next year? Really,
yeah,
really soon.
Okay. Really soon.
All right.
Oh, that's exciting, Travis.
Yeah, yeah. I'm
that's
excited.
Really cool.
Well, it's one thing to read in a book like, okay, this and this happened to you, or, you know, to see, for example, oh, you were in a plane crash, but to actually see footage from it and like news clippings. And
boy,
like,
I don't know if I want that.
Yeah,
terrible.
It's gnarly. Friends and family talking about it.
Yeah.
And it's just another level.
Yeah. So this is a documentary made about your book, your autobiography that you wrote.
Yeah, and then some.
And then some.
Okay. Wow, that's fantastic. All right, well, I know you'll be back to tell us more about that as
yes.
we get closer. Before we run out of time, Travis, we talked a lot about the bands on the bill this year for the Music Festival, St. Patrick's Day weekend, OC Fair and Event Center. Tickets go on sale through Ticketmaster this Friday at 10. Descendants and Fear, Strung Out, Adolescence, Blink-182, Good Charlotte, Lil Yachty, Machine Gun Kelly, and more. Let's talk about the tattoo aspect of this, because this is, ever since year one, it has been equally as important as the bands, right?
Yeah. It's funny that, like, years in the past, there's obviously all the artists that are playing, but then when you walk through the tattoo convention, you see people that aren't even playing, like The Game getting tattooed, or
Yada
Wolf getting tattooed. Yeah, that just come out to the the event for that, because you do run into a bunch of tattoo artists that normally wouldn't be in town. They wouldn't be in Southern California. They wouldn't be in Orange County. But yeah, the best of the best is there. So,
but hundreds of tattoo artists?
Hundreds of tattoo artists.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
This thing is getting so huge.
Yeah.
That's hard to believe. Travis, any room for more tattoos on your body?
There's always room. There's always room. I haven't been tattooed in a minute, though. I got the itch the other day. I was at the studio at like 4 in the morning. But
is there any prime real estate that's still available?
Of course.
Because I assume most of it's gone.
Yeah, look at my face. No, I still got some room. But, yeah, I felt like at 4 in the morning, you know how they say nothing good happens at
yes.
that time? I
was like, sure,
I'm
sure.
just going to wait.
Is there such thing as a taint tattoo?
Taint?
Yes.
Oh,
what
dang.
Is that?
You don't...
That's a spot that's probably available,
your
Travis.
Whole area.
No, I'm okay. Okay. I'm trying to think of the artist I would have do that. That might be weird.
Please put that in the documentary if you decide to get it done.
Definitely.
All right. 11th Annual Music Festival. Tickets go on sale Friday at 10. It looks like a great, great event. March 16th through the 18th. Travis is going to be all over the place. We're so happy to have you back on the show, Travis. We love you so much. Don't take the carpool lane on the way home. You're not in a hurry, okay? We'll see you soon, my friend.
Thank you, guys.
All right, just before you go, can we do 60 seconds with Travis? This is just kind of a speed round.
Let's do it.
All right, whatever you
say. I don't even know what you're doing.
Who inspired you to play drums?
Animal.
From the Muppets?
Yep.
Do you collect anything?
Yes.
What's your favorite collection? Cars. All right, what's your favorite movie?
True Romance.
What's your favorite TV show?
Narcos.
What's something people don't know about you that would surprise them?
I'm colorblind.
What did you do for work before you made a living playing music?
I was a trash man.
Who's the last person you texted?
Oh, I don't know, damn it. My daughter.
Who's your favorite MMA fighter?
Right now, Daniel Cormier.
How great was that fight Saturday night?
So good.
That was pretty sweet. You train with your son. How long till he can beat you in MMA?
We talk about this all the time. By the time he's probably 18.
Is that right?
Yeah.
So soon?
Yeah, soon.
Where were you surprised to hear your music?
Grocery stores.
Remember that time you took the King of Mexico and I to see Drumline and left us in the theater alone?
Yes.
Cool or not cool? I didn't get that.
Can I just answer hi?
Very high, yes.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you, Travis. It's
awesome.
Always great to have you in. Tickets again for Musink Friday at 10 a.m. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 7:54.
Hey, Allie.
Yeah.
What's happening?
Right.
What's happening?
Okay.
What is happening?
Sir.
Allie, what is happening?
You need you to calm down.
Dude wants to know.
I will let you know, sir. This service that we use that has some entertainment news that mm-hmm. comes in, they are really pushing this Chris Pratt, Olivia Munn situation.
Oh, are they?
Yeah. This is where I had first heard that they might possibly be dating.
Mm-hmm.
And they're continuing it, saying that they've been spotted around town. And now Entertainment Tonight reports the duo enjoyed a very cozy dinner in West Hollywood last Friday night and made no attempt to hide any public displays of affection. Well, that's all well and good until you go to Olivia Munn's Twitter page,
mm-hmm.
where she posted a text conversation with her and Anna Faris, who is Chris Pratt's ex-wife
right.
and one of her friends.
Mm-hmm.
So Olivia Munn writes to her and says, "Hey there, so I would never respond to random tabloid stories, but since we know each other, I wanted to reach out to you personally to tell you the story about me and Chris dating has 0% truth. I'm sure you already know it's not true or maybe didn't care either way, but I just wanted to reach out personally to let you know it's not true. Anyway, hope you had an amazing holiday and an even better 2018. To which Anna responded, "Hi, oh my God, this town is so effing crazy. You're so sweet to text. I love you. Having said that, if you were my new sister-in-law, I would be thrilled. Let's catch up soon." So Olivia Munn posts that, like, all right, enough with these stories. And then I come in today, and that's one of the first ones I see.
Of course.
So she and Chris Pratt are totally doing it.
Absolutely.
Right?
Yeah, right?
No question.
Isn't that
that's
what you got from it?
A lot of denial.
Come on. Did you see Drake... trending over the weekend because of a couple of his questionable lyrics from his new song. This one called Diplomatic Immunity, and the lyrics that most people were like, really, dude? He wound up saying 2010 was when I lost my halo. 2017, I lost a J-Lo. And people were like, dude, you were in like two pictures with her. You never had her. Slow your roll. Calm down, Drake. Oh, Drake. So, I mean, someone needs to sit him down and be like, sweetie. Yeah, it rhymes and it's cute.
And that's probably what he was going for.
We get it.
But yeah. Take it easy.
You that's ever think Drake had J-Lo?
No.
No.
Come on, sweetheart. Some Julia Louis-Dreyfus news, which we always love. Star Matt Walsh from Veep has told Entertainment Weekly that, guess what? She's been at table reads for the upcoming season. She completed her chemotherapy, and they expect to start production for the end of beginning of season 7 at the end of the summer.
Fantastic.
So, yes!
That's great news.
They're going to start shooting in August, and those episodes will air in 2019. She was not at the SAG Awards last night, though. But she did tweet this. I wish I could have been at the SAG Awards tonight, but I have to admit it's pretty fun to watch in my PJs. So honored to win. So proud to be a union member. So happy for my Veep HBO bozos for winning Ensemble Award. Miss being at the table with you all. How's the chicken? I can't wait to see them all back together. Is that not one of the best shows that has ever graced our television?
Agreed, yes. One of the best ever.
Oh, so excited for that. And, I don't know how you guys feel about the swimsuit issue of Sports Illustrated, but
they still make it.
They do, and they are welcoming three new rookies, you guys.
Okay.
Olivia Culpo, Hunter McGrady, and Ebony Davis.
I'm sure they're all very pretty.
Well, Olivia Culpo is a former Miss Universe, also known as the lady that dates Danny Amendola from the Patriots.
Oh, is that what she's known
They're
as?
The best-looking couple in the universe. I'm just going to say that.
He had a day yesterday, didn't he?
He had a hell of a day. And then he's, you know, been with Miss Universe.
Then he goes home to Miss Universe, right.
So people talk about Brady and, oh, he goes home to Giselle. This man has a woman that has such an amazing, uh-oh.
Hey, Mike Catherwood.
Mike Catherwood just popped in.
Why are you running in?
What's happening?
Olivia Culpo also is very famous in the minds of disgusting perverts like myself.
Uh-oh.
Because she is the lady.
Is this what we want?
Nope.
This is pertinent.
Let's vote. Do we want this?
I kind of do.
Okay, yes.
Okay.
She dumped Tim Tebow because he wouldn't bang her.
Supposedly. She said that wasn't true. But yeah. Yeah, that he was too into God, and she was like, come on, let's bone. And he's like, no, God.
I'm just saying.
Are you
positive she was saying no
She's
God?
She's like, no, let's do it.
I'm pretty sure there's no God that prevents me from... There just isn't a God that exists.
I'm just saying, if you were to look at a picture of Olivia Culpo, she might be the most stunning. Like, her face is as close to perfection as you can get for a human being. It's absurd.
And
someone told her no.
Tim Tebow.
That's insane.
Right.
It's kind of like you. Everyone wants to, all macho dudes are like, oh, what's wrong with him? It's kind of respectable. I mean, honestly, that level of commitment to your faith is real. Like, wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. What does he know that we don't?
I don't know.
Yeah.
I'm looking at pictures of Olivia Culpo on your direction, and she looks made up. I mean, she looks like
her face doesn't look human.
It doesn't look human.
Chicks that are hot that you go, oh, wow, what a beautiful girl. There's chicks that are hot like her that are, it's like, it makes you mad. Right? Like, what?
Hey, this isn't cool.
Come on.
No, like, no makeup on. You're like, this is the most stunning woman ever.
Don't do that.
She looks like a sex robot. Like, she was created
a laboratory. You took it to a level that none of us wanted.
I'm saying she doesn't look real.
Next time we all have to vote before Bean gets
right. I'm a little offended. You go, do we really want to hear from Mike? I mean, is this going to be appropriate?
She looks like a sex robot, he said. He's the worst.
I want to bite her.
That's the ultimate compliment in my world. You guys know that.
Oh, but anyone listening that doesn't know that thinks that's the worst.
Right. So, Mike, thumbs up. Bean, thumbs down.
Thanks.
Okay.
Let's talk about some birthdays. Rapper Logic, actress Diane Lane, DJ Jazzy Jeff, and Matt Iceman from American Ninja Warrior. That's what's happening.
Congratulations, Aaron Orozco.
Oh, come on. I did the big thing.
Congratulations. All right, do it again.
Now. You go now.
Congratulations, Aaron Orozco from Hacienda Heights. Won the tickets to not only see Queens of the Stone Age, but also to see them in Boston Calling. Tickets for two, trip, airfare, hotel, the whole thing.
That's an unbelievable lineup, too.
So that's pretty cool, and congratulations, Aaron. Thank you for listening.
She's a grand prize winner, qualified last week, and there it is, drawing done. Doto, International Man of Mystery, coming up in minutes. First, though, let's go to our Mobile, Alabama, Karen and Bean correspondent, Andrew Siciliato from the NFL Network. What's going on in Mobile, Alabama today, Andrew?
Hi, guys.
Hi.
It's the Senior Bowl, actually, all week. And I know you may laugh, but it is the, like, biggest football convention there is. So every single coach, every single GM, that is other than, you know, the Patriots and the Eagles are all here. We run the practices all week on NFL Network. It's all these guys you're going to see picked in the first round of the game on Saturday. It is 1 week of just the football, not bonanza, but as Rob Gronkowski said, bazooka.
Well, you do have 2 weeks to fill before the Super Bowl, so I guess you're glad that this game is happening, right?
Look, yeah, honestly, it really is a big deal in Mobile for the football world. I'm not joking. Every single person in football, not with the Patriots and the Eagles, will be here for the entire week. It's
wow.
Where coaching staffs get filled out. It's where it's where all these interviews are done. It's where Carson Wentz became Carson Wentz, if you want to say that, 2 years ago. He was not going to be the second pick in the draft until he came down here and lit it up, and people went, wow.
Oh, that's
how many times do you get the idea that people are that surprised by somebody coming into this week?
Well, I think with him, it was you knew who he was and what he was, but you were concerned about the competition.
Okay. Right.
And then you get him here, and you go, okay, well, he's played against the best college football players in America, and plus he's in meetings every night with the Cowboys staff. Jason Garrett came down and coached the team that year. This year you have the Broncos here and the Texans here, and then they all went, geez, okay, he's real.
Wow.
But you'll see a bunch of guys every year who you didn't think were first-round picks, and then they come down here, and then they end up first-round picks in April.
All right, while we're talking about lighting it up, I don't know where you want to start from this weekend's game, but Allie and I were just talking about this off the air. Blake Bortles had the day of his life yesterday.
Yep.
It wasn't quite enough, but how impressed were you with him and his Jacksonville Jaguars?
So Blake Bortles has like an entire Twitter feed, guys, of people making fun of him. It's called Blake Bortles Facts.
Okay.
Seriously, he is an internet punchline, and he had the chance to go to the Super Bowl. Like, the only narrative all season in Jacksonville is who's going to replace Blake Bortles?
Wow.
I mean, he's a former top five pick and a guy that's never lived up to it. A lot of people were stunned that they picked up a fifth-year option last year on his initial rookie contract. I saw them in person when they practiced against the Patriots in the preseason. A lot of people thought that he was going to get cut at the end of the preseason. People thought they were going to trade for Eli Manning. This was kind of out the wild, but trade for Eli Manning at the trade deadline, put him in there to replace Blake Bortles. People thought that they were going to go get Phillip Rivers from the Chargers at the trade deadline. I mean, the craziest scenarios on earth, and here he is with a chance to beat Tom Brady.
And playing really well.
I mean, you heard Romo. Romo had a connection.
Yeah.
Who is this guy?
He certainly did. Now, yeah. because it's the Patriots, and the Patriots have more haters than any team in football because they're the greatest of all time, the conspiracy theorists are out already.
Okay, where's the conspiracy?
Well, the conspiracy is that the Patriots had one penalty against them, and
correct,
the Jaguars had 100 yards against them or something like that. And some of those defensive pass interferences, people were like, look, the Jaguars never get called for that. All of a sudden they're getting called every play here. What's happening? A lot of people blamed the officials. What say you, Andrew, as a student of the game?
Of course, Allie can tell you the game was entirely fixed in the Patriots' favor. Of course. Right. It wasn't fixed. I can't believe I'm even saying that. There was no conspiracy. I did disagree with one of the calls about the pass interference, which led to the Patriots' first touchdown, where Boye ran him out of bounds. I didn't think that was a TI. Yeah, there was a lot of contact, but for Pete's sake, he had great coverage. The guy ran out of bounds.
But that's normal. That's normal for a football game. You disagree with at least a call or two.
Right. Sure. The one on Rams that people got so mad about near the end of the game, that was absolutely pass interference. He was up in the air and pulling the guy's head back by the helmet. So, yes, that was absolutely pass interference. Shut up, people. Stop it. The fact that the Patriots had only one flag thrown against them is eye-opening, surprising, I'll put it that way. I know people think that, you know, they have the Zapruder film because the referee came to pat Tom Brady on the chest immediately after the clock hit 00, and they think that showed that there was some kind of conspiracy. Stop it. Tom Brady is 40 years old, all right? He's been around forever.
So the official came over and patted him on the shoulder or the chest, whatever. Did it look bad? Yes. It doesn't mean anything. And you also know, and I'm not saying that the official gave the paper to the edge here, but to be the champ, you got to beat the champ. You got to knock out the champ. And
right,
the
Jaguars
couldn't knock the champ out. They had the champ on the ropes, and they could not land the final punch.
Did you enjoy, like the rest of us, the attempt for Bill Belichick and the other coaches to hug? Because it seemed super unnatural at best.
Okay, so I need your guys' help with this. I have been saying for years that there comes an age, no matter how much of an athlete you are or what kind of hand-eye coordination you have,
right,
but as an adult human male, there comes an age where you automatically lose your ability to high-five somebody. Okay, and I don't know, and I think it might differ the age, depending on the athletic ability that God gave you, but that looked like that kind of, I can't high five anymore, and I don't know how to hug anymore. Plus, we both have sizable bellies,
right,
and so it's like we're kind of trying to make it. I mean, it's certainly affectionate, but it didn't look like the let me put my head on your shoulder and let me really hug it out, because they're also different heights. It was weird.
It was weird. All right, what year was it that the Patriots and the Eagles met in the Super Bowl previously, Andrew?
It was January or February of 2005, the 2004 season, in Jacksonville.
And you tweeted yesterday that Tom Brady is the only player from either team who's going to be there for the rematch.
Correct. Now, there are two other guys who are still playing. Ben Watson was a rookie tight end. I think he might have been injured for the game. He's with the Ravens now. Actually, he's up for Walter Payton Man of the Year. And Adam Vinatieri, who is the Colts kicker still, is the oldest active player in football. So there are three guys who are still playing, but Brady is the only one who is actually in that game.
Well, let's give the Eagles...
Mike Vrabel just got named coach of the Titans, and he was in that game.
Wow. Let's give the Eagles some love for that domination over a very good Minnesota Vikings team yesterday.
I had no idea that was coming. I mean, if you told me they were winning, of course. They're the home team. They're the one seed. Minnesota had this big emotional output last week. It doesn't surprise me they won, but I did not expect them to step on their neck and break it.
Yeah, it was never close. Forgetting for a moment that both teams are in New England, as a football fan, how excited are you about this matchup? Do you think this has the makings of a great game, these two teams up against each other?
People can hate the Patriots all they want, and I am not Mr. Fanboy like a lot of people in the media are the Patriots. No names. Okay, but this is their eighth Super Bowl in 18 years.
Yeah, that's right? Impressive.
That's not cheating. That's not getting a help from people. They've gotten that much help from the officials for 18 years. I mean, come on. I mean, that is, if the fans out there didn't love to hate them, they would all be cheering them on because they'd be in awe of it. I mean, in 18 years is absurd.
Yeah, that is extraordinary. It's extraordinary,
It's the same reason people used to hate the Yankees, and the same reason people hate Duke, and when Dick Vitale screams and yells about him, you hate even more. I mean, it's all the same stuff. And then you have the Eagles who, you know, the Eagles fan. Here's the thing with Philly fans. And my buddy Pete Burns from the SEC Network tweeted something last night like, hey, these are the two most rational, well-behaved fan bases of all time. I can't wait to get to Minnesota. and credit to Pete for so succinctly saying it. You know, Eagles fans also, like Patriots fans, think the world is against them, but they have never really tasted this kind of success. Obviously, they've been to the Super Bowl. They've lost two previous times that time and in 1980 to the Raiders. You know, Eagles fans think that no one cares as much as they do, and that you just don't understand. No, you don't get it. We care more than you. Actually, no, you don't. No, you don't. We all care. We all ever. No. You don't get it. That's why we can be such jerks sometimes to our players and jerks to other fans, because we care more than you do. No, you don't. you really don't. So it's going to be a fun mixture in Minnesota, and it'll be negative 12 degrees.
Andrew Siciliano is the host of the NFL Network's Up to the Minute and DirecTV's Red Zone channel. Be sure to watch him and the whole NFL crew NFL Network crew, I should say, in Mobile, Alabama for the Senior Bowl all week long. It's going to be fun. Andrew, thank you for checking in. We know you're very busy. We'll talk to you next time. Thank you, sir.
You got it, guys. See you in Minneapolis.
Thank you. Bye. We've had a fun show here on this Monday here on K-Rock. One of our all-time faves, Travis Barker, was on the show. We've had a lot of other good stuff. But, Kevin, you said first thing, you're fast-forwarding through all of that
yes.
in your brain.
Yes.
This moment right here,
correct.
Right now
yes.
on the Kevin and Bean Show is the only thing you care about.
I love Travis more than life, but...
Uh-huh. But?
I love Doto more than Travis.
Ladies and gentlemen,
I need some babe!
Kevin Bean, this one thing I forgot to tell you, Kevin Bean. I need a woman.
Woo! I need a woman! I was in Vietnam! I definitely need a Korean woman!
My first memory is I just love the buffets in Las Vegas. I love the flan. It has a lot of sugar.
Life's a box of chocolate, Bean.
Did you get her phone number?
Yeah.
Have you called it?
Yeah, I called and she changed her number.
How about that?
Why'd you tuck away some knives behind an air conditioner vent in a nondescript bag? No, seriously.
That's not mine, man. I drank your milkshake.
Well, I'm sorry.
Why not, Bean? This is America.
And now the further adventures of Doto, international man of mystery, man. Yeah.
For the first time in 2018, Doto, welcome back to the Kevin Bean Show.
Happy New Year's, Kevin Bean. How's it going?
To you as well. It's going
Thanks,
well.
Man.
How's it going for you?
Good, man. Hey, you're going to – I know Dave told you about the matchmaking stuff.
The matchmaking, yes.
Yeah, tell us about this. You're looking for a lady online now, right?
You're going to want to hear this, Kevin Bean. I know this matchmaker, he's been doing this for 30 years. He's based up in Monterey Park, right, Kevin Bean?
Okay, right, yes.
Okay.
And then I've talked to him since 2012, and every now and then I do – But he asked me, why the hell have you wouldn't you get serious and sign up, right?
Right. Uh-huh. So did you
and
sign
what
up?
What happened? On January 5th or January 6th, I did sign up with him, and he charged like about $600 for the whole year, right?
$600?
Yeah.
Okay.
And what he did is I told him, and he was having me looking at profiles of ladies. Like, he has books like from age-wise, from 20 to 30, and from 30 to 40, and from 40 to 50, right?
Right.
Sure.
And I look at and I choose between the 20 to 30 and between the 30 to 40, right?
Okay.
And he asked me to please list 20 different girls, 22 different girls I was interested in. Right? And out of the 20 girls, 22 girls, I list about 20, right?
Okay. And good. It's a pretty high rate, but go ahead.
And then he gave me two girls. One girl, she's 31 years old, right?
Okay.
And she's a banker. And then the other girl, she's 39 years old, and she has a 6-year-old daughter, and she's divorced, right?
Okay.
And
where's all this going, Doe?
Where's all this going?
Yeah, your story.
Yeah, because I went out with one of them, Kevin Bean.
You went out with which one?
Which
oh, you
one?
Went out with you went on a date. Okay.
Yeah. I went out with a 39-year-old Bean.
Okay. All right. Well, tell us about it. How did it go?
It went pretty well. And then her name is Christine,
uh-huh.
and she's from China, Beijing, right?
Right.
And she used to work for IBM for 8 years in China, right?
Okay.
And after that, she used to work as a translator for the centralized government.
Okay.
At the top level government, right?
Right.
Wow.
So what do you think? So do you think it's going to work out? You think she's too intellectual for me, Kevin? What do you think? She's way?
I mean, I know she's too intellectual for me.
Well, yeah, but the thing is that I did talk to her, and we had a good time.
Okay.
But the matchmaker told me that, dude, don't ask her too many personal questions about who she knows in top leadership, who she knows in government. The guy just told me, hey, if she barely knows, just don't ask.
I mean, that's probably good advice to
start.
Play it cool, Doto.
Absolutely. Yeah, and by the way, Do, if you can pause, if you can just take a breath for just 1 second
so we can get a word in edgewise.
I'm Bean. There's nothing wrong with dating a really, really smart woman. That's a bonus on top of everything else.
Yeah. Here's the problem. If she has a kid, and I've never been married, if I don't have any kids, do you think that's going to be a disadvantage on my part, Bean?
I think that's completely up to you. I don't know how you feel about children. I don't know how involved you're going to be. I think it's a little too early for you to worry about that because you don't know. Okay, sorry to talk.
Yeah, I know. But if she always takes her 6-year-old person. If she's always taking her 6-year-old daughter, do you think that's going to be awkward?
You mean if she brings her 6-year-old on dates with you?
She did.
Yes, that's
no. She did.
She did.
She
what? Doto, what?
What?
So on her first date, she brought her daughter.
On the first date, she did, but on the second and on the third, she did, Kevin.
Wait, you had a second date?
Yeah, I did.
Come on,
Doto, everybody. Well, so how do you feel about her? Do you feel like there is potential in this relationship, though?
You know what? let me just give it a month and see how it goes, Kev. And me, but I'm also seeing other, I might be seeing other people too, being.
Okay. Okay. Wow, look at Joe. Spreading it around. How about that? All right, well, look, here's what I'm going to say, guys, and tell me if you disagree. We've had a nice, fun, short conversation with Doto. We got some good information. What do you guys think about leaving it here and then maybe checking in with him in a week or so and seeing how it's going?
I'll talk to Dave about it. Him and I will. I'll keep him in contact with him.
All right, okay. I wasn't asking you, Doe. I was asking the room. Okay. How do you guys feel about us tabling this for now?
I'm fine with that as long as Doto tells us he'll come back on in a week and give us an update.
Hey, Bean, if me and her decide to go to Seattle, can we visit you, Bean?
Yes, you can.
Absolutely.
You're kidding.
No, you can totally visit me.
Yes, you can visit me in Seattle because I moved away from there a year and a half ago, Doe. All right, we love you. We'll talk to you next week. Thanks, Doe.
Thanks, Kevin Bean.
Bye, Doe.
Doto, international man of mystery, man. Yeah.
Just announced this morning on the Kevin and Bean Show, it's the K-Rock Incubus to Las Vegas. A pair of tickets to see the band Incubus at the Joint at the Hard Rock Hotel and Casino in Las Vegas on March 30th, plus a one-night stay at the Hard Rock Hotel and Casino and round-trip transportation on the K-Rock Incubus. We got a chance for you to win that coming up in the next half hour here on K-Rock, or you can head to krock.com for yet another chance to win.
I've had DirecTV since it started.
Uh-huh.
Back in the day.
Yeah.
Yeah, you and me both, over 20 years as DirecTV subscribers.
Right. And one of the services that they offered at the beginning was the East Coast feeds if you were in media, which was awesome.
Sure.
Because, like, one of my favorite shows tonight, The Brave, is on NBC. It's on at 10 p.m.
Mm-hmm.
See it at 7.
Yeah.
It works for my schedule because I have to get up at 3:50. So.
It's a dream.
And they stopped offering it to people. But if you were grandfathered in, which I was.
Yeah, you were.
I continued to get it.
Sure.
Until last November.
Oh.
And then I called them and I said, hey, my daughter's getting an apartment. I'd like to start new service. Should I do a separate account or should I just add it on to mine? Oh, add it on to yours. No problem. I was like, okay, but listen, don't mess with mine.
Right.
Mine's good.
Yeah.
Everything that I have, I want to keep the same. So don't touch
it. Don't even look at it.
And then they would put me on hold. And then a new person would come on.
Okay.
And then they would say a bunch of meaningless stuff like they do from customer service, which is the worst, where they go, I'm really happy that you called today.
Yeah.
Thanks for calling. I'm happy to help you. And then
they read from that that script. They're not even having a conversation with you. They're just reading whatever the next line is on the script.
And it's the same with the chats. I decided to try the chat instead because I wasn't getting anywhere. This is last November, and I've spoken to them probably, I would say, 5 times a week for a month.
Oh, gosh.
And then this year, I've tried to down it to 4 times a week because it's frustrating.
You tell us that you literally go home after work every day and call DirecTV.
And they're happy to talk to me, and I have to start from scratch because they have thousands of people, and there's no record of me calling before.
And all you're trying to do is get the service back that you had for 20 years.
They
that
disconnected
they took away.
My service at my house, took it away,
right?
And it was their mistake.
Right, so just and flip a switch. Seems easy.
Right. Just flip a switch.
Yeah. You would think that would be easy. But then every person you talk to puts you on hold, and then somebody else comes on, and they're happy to talk to you and help
you. Sure.
And they're going to solve your problem today. Please hold. And then somebody else comes on.
Oh, my God.
And it's just been insane. But and
Kevin,
I'm usually really patient with stuff like this.
Right.
I'm talking about over 2 months now.
Yeah, that's insane.
You always say, when we've talked about this in the past, that just keep escalating it to the next person, supervisor up the ladder. Mm-hmm. Have you gone as far? I mean, have you ended up talking to Dr. DirecTV at the very top?
whoever the guy is
who leads the company.
They tell you that that's as high as you can go. Mm-hmm. And lately, it's fixed now.
Yeah.
So I'm sitting in front of my TV and I turn it to channel 390, which is the East Coast feed for CBS.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't work. So I go, no, you know what? Not fixed. And then they go, oh, it's fixed now. And I go, no.
Looks good on our end, sir.
Oh, you might need to reset. All right, I reset. Call back. Nope, not working.
Oh, man.
Or somebody different.
Would you say that you are out of ideas on what to try?
I want to take my life.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I don't think that's necessary.
No,
I mean,
that's
it feels like that.
Yeah.
I'm not going to, everyone.
Okay, good.
But it feels like that because I've talked to 75,000 people, and they're all super positive, and they're going to help me.
Mm-hmm.
And then
if you took your own life, your widow would not get the East Coast feed.
That's
so we
correct.
Don't want that to happen. But I do have some good news for you that we anticipated this conversation today. And
because it's been going on for months.
Yes. Dave was able to line up for us
the person at DirecTV that we are told is going to be able to help.
Oh, this would be so sweet.
I'm sorry I don't have a name, but apparently there is a department that is specially set up for difficult problems like yours. So let's find out who's on the line. Hello there, sir.
Hi, my name is Jonathan. I'm the head of customer service here at DirecTV, although I'm not Dr. DirecTV. I'm pretty sure I can help you with your problem,
That's
Mr.
Great
Ryder.
News. That's great news.
So all right, Kevin, take it away.
So I really want to say I'm very sorry you've been having so much trouble. We pride ourselves on customer service here
at DirecTV. I know all that.
How are we on hold already?
You can't get to the meat of the conversation.
Hello, this is Mark in customer service. How can
what happened
you?
To Jonathan?
I'm sorry? Who am I talking to?
Kevin Ryder.
Great. And what can I help you with?
We were just talking to you. You called yourself Jonathan.
Oh, no, I'm a completely different
You're
person.
You're not a different person. You're the exact same person.
All right, we've taken care of your problem.
You haven't. No. No.
Survey,
it doesn't
please.
Work. I'm
it
not filling out a survey.
Minutes,
it
and you
still
can use
doesn't
your
work.
Touchtone phone.
David, what's his name?
I think this is Mark.
Mark. What? What happened? I thought we had the right guy.
Good morning. This is Paul. How can
this
I help you?
This is not Paul. This is Mark and Jonathan.
I'm Paul.
Paul,
my friend Kevin here is trying to get his East Coast feeds reinstated to his DirecTV. Can you help him with that?
I've been a customer of yours since the first year that you started.
And we certainly appreciate your devotion to DirecTV for over 22 years. This is fantastic.
Right. Thank you. Can you fix it, my account,
certainly.
So that it's the same as it was before?
It's been fixed for a month now. Yep.
It has. I've checked it many times.
We pride ourselves on our customer service.
It doesn't work.
Still
doesn't work.
Everything works fine.
It doesn't work.
So you were trying to reactivate your entire account? That's the problem?
I wanted my account the same as it was before you mistakenly disconnected.
And you came from another service, is that correct?
No. I've been a DirecTV subscriber since the very first days.
Oh, I'm
as a
sorry,
matter of fact,
I didn't get that. Okay. Yes.
So I just need the same thing that I had when you canceled
problem.
It. But
no problem. You want to get the East Coast feed?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Here we go.
There it is.
Okay. What happened?
Paul.
He sounded like he understood.
He finally got it.
But what are the...
Buenos dias, this is Gabriel. How can I help you?
Okay.
Yo hablo.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 8:51.
One of our favorite comedians in the world, Fluffy, Gabriel Iglesias, is one of the nicest guys in the world, too, has had a very rough time recently. He has fought back from alcoholism and depression. He was in a really deep, dark place, but he is better, and he is playing at the Staples Center this Friday night at 8, just a few tickets left. We are going to catch up with Fluffy and find out how the journey has been going for him, coming up right after the top of the hour here on K-Rock. Monday morning, 8:51. Allie, what's happening?
Did you guys see the statement that Tom Petty's family put out over the weekend?
I did not.
We did. Sad.
They have released the cause of his death. And let me just quote a couple things.
Okay.
It starts off with, "Our family sat together this morning with the medical examiner, coroner's office, and we were informed of their final analysis that Tom Petty passed away due to an accidental drug overdose as a result of taking a variety of medications." And they go on to list that he had emphysema, knee problems, but most significant was a fractured hip that he had been performing for 53 dates with.
Isn't that
a
super painful?
Fractured hip.
Yes.
And as he kept going, it kept getting worse and worse. And they said, quote, "On the day he died, he was informed his hip had graduated to a full-on break, and it's our feeling that the pain was simply unbearable, and that was the cause for his overuse of medication."
That's very dangerous, especially when one of the seven medications you're taking is fentanyl.
100%.
That is so dangerous on its own, and in combination with others, I think that's this. I think that that combination is very similar to what killed
Prince.
And maybe Lil Peep too.
Yeah, just awful stuff. But this part just kind of got me here. They said, "On a positive note, we know for certain he went painlessly and beautifully exhausted after doing what he loved the most. For one last time, performing live with his unmatchable rock band for his loyal fans on the biggest tour of his 40-plus career. He was extremely proud of that achievement in the days before he passed." And they said in this statement, "Listen, we want you guys talking about this opioid crisis, how easy it is to go from trying to manage pain into a full-blown addiction, if not just trying to manage the pain and doing a cocktail that kills you."
Yeah.
It is happening all the time. And to to release that, they didn't have to. They could have just kept this quiet, gone about their day, had people just think Tom Petty had a massive heart attack, whatever. So I don't know about you guys. I'm pretty
props
grateful
to them.
That they would put that out and have the grace to put it out, knowing it could help someone. So just really rough time reading that over the weekend. But I just wish his whole family well. And thank you for sharing that. Because if it could
anyway,
save...
Anyway, what happened to Tom Petty?
All right. If it could save one person, I think that is a huge deal. You guys, this is the weirdest story I've ever heard. And it made me laugh so hard. The New York Post is reporting that hotels like the Whitby, the Peninsula, the Pier, the Plaza have all seen an uptick in guests popping in for high tea and requesting tea service lately.
Okay.
Why would you think that would be?
Prince Harry.
Exactly. Wouldn't you think the royals, they're trying to, you know, kind of recreate that feeling, the British love tea, I can, you know, feel what they feel.
Wait, you think that people here are going?
Mm-hmm.
For tea.
My guess was because they are now getting excited about the royal wedding.
Yes.
Starting to pay more attention
really?
To
yes.
William and to
that
Harry and
much?
To Meghan and to Kate
mm-hmm.
and all those people. Yeah, Saturday Night Live had a William and Harry bit. I've never seen one on their show before. They did them on SNL this weekend.
But people
they become huge stars.
Going to these hotels for tea to get in the mood?
Well, let's find out from the lady. Okay. That was just my guess. I don't know.
No, they're saying because Mariah Carey went on Dick Clark's New Year's Rockin' Eve with Ryan Seacrest and said at the beginning, I was promised tea. People are literally saying that because of that, people are like, I don't know, I like tea. I like Mariah. So people are going, and there's been an uptick, a trend of
that's
tea service.
Hilarious.
That is my new favorite story ever.
This is what everybody's been waiting for.
Are you a tea girl, Allie? I drink tea every day.
I am more of a coffee girl.
Okay.
But I do get the benefits of tea. A mm-hmm. lovely green tea would be great. I do sometimes do a bedtime tea because the little bear on the cover is so damn cute with little PJs on.
What's happening?
What? Yeah.
That was too much of a look at Allie's life.
I mean, you asked me.
You did ask her about tea, Dean.
I'm going to let you know. Hey, we need to send Muggs to check on one of his best friends, Abby Lee Miller from Dance Moms. She is set to be released from federal prison on the 20th of February. You know, she was in there on numerous fraud charges, but she shaved about 5 months off of her 1 year, 1 month sentence. Apparently, she's doing pretty good. But she's going to be entering a halfway house in Van Nuys. Also news, she's dropped about 100 pounds.
Wow. Prison was good for her.
She had bariatric surgery before reporting. So combine that with, you know, you're not really overeating that much in prison.
Right, sure. Right.
So, she's dropped 100 pounds. But Muggs was very in tune with Abby Lee Miller.
Abby Lee Miller from Lifetime's Dance Moms here at the Teen Choice Awards. What is it like being a dance mom, being coined as a dance mom? Is that a good thing?
Dance mom. Do you watch the show?
What are you?
I'm the dance teacher. I own the studio. Yeah.
You have kids?
No.
I'm so sorry.
I need Muggs to end every interview with,
I'm so sorry.
I did not do my job.
Never, ever, ever in a million years, if your life depended on it, would ever participate in that.
Right.
Okay, very well. Hey, when we come back for the next What's Happening, it was only a matter of time before people started cashing in on the Tide Pod Challenge.
Oh, dear God.
Yeah. How were people cashing in on that? That's okay, Muggs. No problem. I'll have that story coming up. Some birthdays for you. Rapper Logic, actress Diane Lane, DJ Jazzy Jeff, and Matt Iceman from American Ninja Warrior. And that's what's happening.
Congratulations to Catherine Morrison from Banning. Just picked up a chance to win. She got tickets to see Incubus at the Joint at the Hard Rock Hotel and Casino in Las Vegas March 30th. Plus a one-night stay at the Hard Rock Hotel and Casino and round-trip transportation on the KREC Incubus. Head to KREC.com for another chance to win. It is the Kevin and Bean Show at 9:21.
You know how sometimes when something very important is going on in the government and Congress calls an emergency meeting, they go back in session when they're supposed to be on vacation or on a weekend or something like that because they've got something so pressing the nation's business has to be attended to, and they go back to work. You've seen that happen before, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Well, that's how I felt when I read this story on Friday. I thought, how can I get everyone on the phone and get down to K-Rock and just kick Stryker off the air and go back on the air so that we can do this story immediately so I don't have to wait until Monday morning to do it?
We could do it with Stryker. He'd let us.
I bet he would.
Yeah, he'd be cool.
I didn't think I could talk you guys into it, though.
Oh, no, you couldn't.
No.
Hey, Kevin, I'm going to need you to drive back to work from the Valley on the Friday afternoon so that we can talk about this story. This is Dr. Kenny Bahn is telling a story about working in the emergency room at the Community Regional Medical Center in Fresno, California. Hey, Fresno, what's up? What's this up? A young man walks in. Did you guys see the story, by the way?
I didn't.
Mm-mm.
A young man walks in complaining of bloody diarrhea.
Oh, dear, man.
But unlike other patients who come in with similar elements of abdominal pain and cramping, this guy also asked to be treated for worms. The doctor was confused by that, but then the young man, unnamed, handed him a plastic grocery bag. Oh. I take out a toilet paper roll, and wrapped around it is a giant tapeworm.
Lucky.
Apparently,
I mean, that's sorry.
You've been begging for a tapeworm, right, Ellie?
I have.
Apparently, the man was sitting on the toilet.
Oh no!
When the worm
why do we have to start the week like this?
When the worm began wriggling its way out of him, he thought he was dying. Going through the man's mind was, "Oh my goodness, my guts are coming out of me!" Recalled the doctor. Here's my favorite paragraph in this story. And in any story.
Oh, no. I feel like that means I'm going to hate it.
As the man began pulling on the worm, and it continued sliding out inch by inch, the creature began moving.
Yay!
Why are the kids so happy with the worm?
And rather than faint, he felt relieved. He had thought his entrails were gooping out, but it was a tapeworm, he realized. By the way, I thought
tapeworms were tiny.
This one had
been eaten for a while.
Wow.
Oof. I want you to imagine, think about again what you've just heard. Something is wiggling out his butt while he's on the toilet.
Mm-hmm.
He reaches around and starts pulling it out of him.
Nope. No, sir.
When rolled out on the floor of the lobby of the emergency room, the parasitic worm was 5 feet.
Nope.
6 inches tall.
No, sir.
Who's hungry?
It was a 5 feet, 6 inch tall tapeworm.
Gut boarded. Gut boarded. Fabulous. Outstanding. Wonderful. Terrific. Gut boarded. Yeah. Gut boarded.
The doctor and the patient were initially confounded over how the tapeworm ended up in the man's body. He had he reported no trips abroad, couldn't recall drinking any questionable water, but then the man confessed his deep love of salmon sashimi. Is that how you pronounce it? Sashimi?
Sashimi, Allie? Sure.
I think so, yeah.
I eat raw salmon almost every day, he admitted to the doctor. And there it was, by the way. He got infected with a Japanese tapeworm parasite that is most prevalent when consuming raw or undercooked fish, particularly in dishes such as sushi, sashimi, and ceviche. So
Mistakenly said 5 feet.
Yes,
when you meant 5 inches.
No, I did not.
You didn't mean 5 inches.
And by the way, there are pictures of this tapeworm.
Nope.
And
nope.
It is, nope. I mean, it's 5.5 feet tall. Apparently, it is not good to have a tapeworm, by the way, Allie. I know you're excited for weight loss, but in most cases, a tapeworm can cause an infection that causes a vitamin B12 deficiency, intestinal obstruction, and gallbladder disease. But they are easy to attend to. All you need is a single dose of deworming medication, which is the exact same pill that is given to dogs, and you are fine. That kills your tapeworms. And the patient says he plans to lay off the sashimi for now.
I had ahi tuna twice this weekend.
Oh, see?
Oh, you probably got one.
I probably have a worm.
Now, do you wait? If you do, do you wait a week or two?
Just keep looking back when I'm pooping. What? Disgusting. Here's my question, Bean. You couldn't wait to tell that story.
You would have told me, hey, this is the story I want to talk about. I would have said, not in a million years.
What is wrong with you?
That's an unbelievable story. The man pulled a 5.5 foot long tapeworm out of his body.
Not only would I not come in on Friday, I'm going home now.
Wasn't that awesome?
No.
Please agree with me that that was awesome.
Yeah.
It was awesome. Wasn't it awesome?
It was totally awesome.
It was the most awesome thing ever. Hug me.
That guy's right.
Nope.
That guy's not right. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 9:37.
My issue is that we wake up to this monstrosity. Mm-hmm.
Well, the monstrosity continues. Allie is here with what's happening on a Monday morning.
Why can't it just be a success?
Right? Sorry.
Do you think they're related?
2018 is a monstrosity.
Those two women might be related.
It's possible.
That is some good stuff. Hey, we had Travis Barker in here.
Course, I love him so much.
Wonderful drummer, Blink 182, drummer for everyone, essentially, that ever needs him. I don't think he says no to many people.
Call now. 1-800.
Not quite yet, Doto. He's also the curator of Musink. And what did we say? It was going on its 11th year?
Yes, that's right.
Which is insanity. But this year, it's going down March 16th through the 18th at OC Fair and Event Center. This is where you go and see amazing bands up close and personal, and then there's hundreds of people that are inking you up. You can get tattoos. It's phenomenal. Let's go through the lineup. Friday, Descendants, Fear, Strung Out, The Adolescents. Saturday, Blink 182, Good Charlotte, The Interrupters. Sunday, Lil Yachty, Machine Gun Kelly, The Fever. I mean.
Right?
I mean.
It's going to be a great show.
Absolutely. And I'd like to give somebody a pair of tickets right now. Let's take caller 20 at 1-800-520-1067.
Call now.
Okay.
1-800-520-1067.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
I love you.
I love you, too. And you are going to get a pair of passes to check out the 11th annual Musink. Again, March 16th through the 18th at the OC Fair and Event Center.
Tickets on sale Friday 10 at noon. Why would I say that?
Nope. You were very helpful, though.
Friday at 10 a.m. is
sure.
what I meant to say.
At noon,
sure.
right? They go on sale at noon, though.
Just 10. Just that one time.
You are right about Friday?
Friday at 10.
Uh-huh. Whereabouts?
10 a.m.
Friday. Till noon, though, just for 2 hours.
Yeah, it's just a two-hour window to get tickets.
It's just Friday at 10.
And I believe it's commercial-free when you...
Nope.
Well said, Kevin.
Thank you.
Sweet spirit. We talked earlier about the former members of the Smiths getting together, reuniting for a tour. This happened on Friday. The whole conversation started when drummer Mike Joyce posted on Facebook, Rourke, Joyce, Gannon, summer 2018. Everyone's like, are they getting back together? What's happening? What about Morrissey? What about Johnny Marr? Well, I did not see this coming.
Okay.
That trio are indeed getting back together.
Okay.
But they are announcing something called the Classically Smiths Tour, which is going to be those three former Smiths members joined by the Manchester Camerata Orchestra. They're going to be doing a bunch of Smiths songs, a lot of classics, and ones that people have never heard live before, backed by an orchestra, which is pretty interesting, right?
Hmm. Who's going to sing?
Nobody. No?
Okay. I mean...
I mean, that's a thing that people can go to if they want, but it's hardly a Smiths reunion.
No.
I mean, I don't think they're not calling it a Smiths reunion, right?
No, they're calling it Classically Smiths.
So Smith adjacent.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. So far, three dates set up in the UK right now. No word on if there's going to be a full UK tour or if they'll come across the pond. But if you love the Smiths music.
Sure.
And you love a good violin. Plus three of the Smiths. I mean, that's like a trifecta of good. Why am I trying to sell this?
I don't know.
Yeah, not sure. Remember all that talk about the NFL? Nobody's watching. Everybody hates the NFL.
Yeah, the ratings have
viewership.
Been down.
The ratings are down.
I mean, legitimately, we had somebody on this past week on the show. I can't remember who said that they were down 9% this season and like 15% the year before. I mean, it's really taken a hit.
Yeah, and there was all the talk. Is it because we're inundated with too much? There's Monday night. There's Thursday night. There's Sunday. Is it too much football? Also, did the players kneeling have something to do with it? A lot of different factors. Well, that didn't come into play yesterday. Not only was the CBS's broadcast of Sunday's AFC Championship game between the Pats and the Jaguars the most watched game of the season, it was the highest rated program on television since last year's Super Bowl.
Wow.
What?
That's impressive.
Nearly 48 million people tuned in.
47 million. I wanted to see the Patriots go down.
Oh, I'd say more. Yeah. That's unheard of
numbers. Yeah, that's crazy.
That's nuts.
Well, I mean, it helped that it was a close game that went right down to the last, you know, 2 or 3 minutes, for sure.
Well, and ratings peaked between the last, 20 minutes of the game anyway, but that's just crazy.
So Allie, I know I said this earlier. There was never a doubt for 1 minute in my mind in that game, even though they were behind for 57 and a half of the 60 minutes, that the Patriots are going to come back and win it. I mean, that's just what they do, is come back at the end of the game and win.
You were not raised by parents from Massachusetts.
You were convinced it was over?
It was over. It was done. Even my dad...
You think that every year before they win the Super Bowl.
I think of it every game. I think about it during a parade. I'm like, this is it. It's the last year. It's how I was raised by my parents. But even my dad, when I called him... I think it was halftime. I'm like, what's happening? And he goes, you know, they're a fourth quarter team. It's going to be fine. And I'm like, Dad, do you have hope? And he goes, who cares? All right. So maybe not so much, but pretty good.
Every game last year, Allie was like, something wrong with my Patriots. I'm telling you, they're just not the team they used to be. They've got troubles, you guys. This can't last. And they win the Super Bowl. Every game this year, Allie's like, I'm telling you guys, there's something wrong with my Patriots. Here they are.
Listen.
Going back to the Super Bowl.
I've been saying for 2 years, something feels off with them.
Right.
I don't know if it's in the locker room. I don't know what's going on. Then that ESPN report comes out.
Right.
And, of course, all Patriots fans were like, oh, that's BS. ESPN hates us. I am one thing. If one thing only, I am not a delusional Patriots fan.
Right.
I am able to see that there might be truth to Belichick, Kraft, and Brady not all getting along. And if you watched the pregame yesterday, did you see the interview with Kraft?
I did not see that, no.
Kraft said, the interviewer said, how are you going to keep them all together? Are we looking at a future with Brady, with Belichick?
Brady's
and
40.
His exact words were, we've just got to get their egos in check.
He said that.
On television. And still, masshole fans are like, that didn't happen. I'm like, oh my God, this is where we are in society, that you just watched it on TV, but still, nah, fake news. Didn't happen.
All I know is they're going
anyway.
Another Super Bowl.
They are going to another Super Bowl.
Yeah.
First time a quarterback has ever started eight. Did I hear that correctly?
Wow.
Eight Super Bowls? I think that's true of Tom Brady.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's amazing. I thought it was only seven, but yeah, I guess maybe it's eight. That's incredible.
Yeah, this will be eight because they've got the five, and then they lost a couple.
They lost two. I hate to make the same joke that everybody was making yesterday, but seriously, how can you tell if Gronk has a concussion or not? Seriously.
I laughed so hard when one of the guys on my Twitter feed wrote, unless he responds immediately to them whispering 69 in his ear, it's not Gronk. Like, he has to be like, nice. Otherwise, he's out.
I mean, he just walks around like a big dope all the time. Yeah. You can't tell.
Yeah. When he bounced back up and was so wobbly and kept going, wow. Like, they better keep him out for the whole game, or you will never hear the end of that.
Yeah. No, you're right about that.
But he'll be back for the Super Bowl.
He'll be back. I hope so.
Of course. You know what? We're running out of time, so I want to bring it to you tomorrow.
What?
It's a great story.
Okay, about?
The Tide Pod Challenge.
Okay.
And what businesses are doing, you know, to maybe make some money off of you idiots out there.
To cash in on people possibly dying?
No. Okay. No. As an alternative to you dying. Okay. Why don't you buy this instead?
Oh, I see. Okay.
Huh? I just teased ahead to tomorrow.
Wow.
Who does that? No one.
Eating Tide Pods doesn't make you cool.
Remember when Gronk did a PSA? Gronk.
Yep.
Don't eat Tide Pods. Some birthdays for you. Rapper Logic, actress Diane Lane, DJ Jazzy Jeff, and Matt Iceman, one of the announcers for American Ninja Warrior. And that's what's happening.
Thank you, Ellie, and your drive home today. Tomorrow morning, an all-new Kevin and Bean show. Ellie texted her dad something that was pretty inappropriate for dad.
Oh, I mean, it was penis-related. And you never want that to get on your dad's phone.
Didn't mean to.
That happened, though.
It did.
Also, Petros joins us for the Bachelor Report and your chances to win tickets to see Incubus at the Joint at the Hard Rock tomorrow morning.